Ren Lavoie of TVS Sports is with us. Thanks, Ren. Thanks for your patience. I just found that I found that intriguing, and I'm wondering how much of an impact that might have, you know, with player safety or anything like that. And again, I'm crediting TJ Oshie because, you know, it's one thing to have a former player tell me that. And again, nothing against former players, but when the guy who was hit kind of says, hey, you know, that kind of happens all the time, that makes me think.
Yeah, and you're right. But you know what? This is TJ Oshie at his best. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's more in a positive way because TJ Oshie, you know, is always telling it like it is. And I'm always impressed by the way he behaved himself. The Stanley Cup run last year, I talked to him a few times, and he was always a class act. He doesn't try to, you know, BS you with things that are not true, or he's telling it like it is. And, I mean, I appreciate what he did last night because he said, you know what, I did the same tonight. Okay, you did the same, but in a way, it was in a legal way. It was not an illegal hit like it happened last night, because if it would have been a legal hit, there would have been a five-minute major on that hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a 2 minutes, like maybe the referees thought at first, and they decided to talk about it, and they made the right decision, honestly. Somebody asked me last night, said, you know what, TJ came back, score a goal. And I said, okay, so what you're telling me is, because it's Malkin, it's okay. But if it was Tom Wilson doing that, what would have been the reaction today? Honestly,
mm-hmm.
We would have been really upset with what Tom Wilson just did again. So you need to be fair, Jeff. I know it's going to be a tough call for the league, a really tough call because of the 5 minutes major, Malkin being thrown out of the game, Oshie coming back and scoring the winning goal. But it doesn't matter. You need to react the right way in my mind. And I know Malkin is not a dirty player at all, but it's not borderline in my book. It's not borderline. This is a suspension. And I've talked to a few people like Stéphane Auger. Stéphane was a referee in the league for a long time.
And a good one.
Yeah. And Stéphane was quite direct last night in our show, Dave Morissette show. He said, this is a two-game suspension. If Oshie's injured, it's a three-game suspension. That's it. That's all. This is the way the league is calling it. Hopefully, and by saying that, you know that I don't want anything against the Pittsburgh Penguins and Evgeny Malkin. But if you want to be fair as a league, you have to. You have to do something about it. That's in my mind. I mean, It was TJ Oshie going to the puck, but the puck's not there anymore. And Malkin knows exactly what he's doing there. So in my mind, there's no gray area, but probably that people are going to find some. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Ren, not a good time for it to happen. It's never a good time for it to happen, but the Penguins losing five in a row. Like I know you spend a lot of time around this team during the playoffs. What are you seeing out of this team? Because, you know, we're starting. Jim Rutherford had some bizarre. He had some comments that would make me a little nervous if I was a coach, a member of the coaching staff, or a player who was in the bottom two lines of that team yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? It's not easy. And is it fatigue, mental fatigue? I don't think it's mental fatigue, to be honest with you, because in May, they were not playing hockey anymore. There was no World Cup this year. So I don't think it was, you can blame fatigue. But I don't see that team being emotionally involved in a game like they were before. And that's something that I noticed twice this year so far. I did two Pittsburgh Penguins game between the benches. And it's something that I noticed quickly. And it's strange because normally when something's going on the ice, those players are really in the game. Like sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's positive, but at the end of the day, when you have teammates on a bench talking to each other, sometimes, you know, saying the real things to each other, it wake up the bench and it makes sure that everybody understand what needs to be done. It's not cute on TV. Obviously, us in the media were showing clips of players talking to each other loudly on the bench. But at the end of the day, they won Stanley Cups doing that. You don't see that this year anymore with that team. They need to be emotionally more involved. I think they're all grown up. They know that maybe games in October or November are not, you know, crucial for the season, but that they are crucial. It's important to win those games right now, and they're in a bad spot. I know their GM tried to trade Phil Kessel all summer long. It didn't work, but Phil Kessel is not the reason why things are not going well right now. He's part of the problem, but I'm pretty sure he's part of the solution now too. So there's a lot of balls up in the air, but the minute that team's going to be emotionally back in the game, I'm pretty sure we're going to see a different team.
Conversation with Ren Lavoie and the Jeff Blair Show. What can you tell me about Jeremy Colleton, the new Chicago Blackhawks head coach? He will make his debut tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. He's 33 years old. He looks almost as he looks about, frankly, he looks about a year and a half older than your guy, Kotkaniemi, if you put him side by side.
Exactly, which is unique. I know they praise him a lot in the minors. They really like what he's bringing. And in a way, you look at what's going on around the league, okay? Look at Claude Julien. One thing that they did is bringing Dominique Ducharme, who won, obviously, with the Team Canada Junior. And he was their head coach, and he worked pretty well with that the young players. So they brought him here in Montreal. Is it a trend? In a way, yes, because... And this is, you know, no disrespect to the older coach, the Mike Babcock of this world, or Claude Julien. They are great coaches. But to understand the new generation, it's not easy. It's really not easy. Guys are playing video games, okay? When Claude Julien and Mike Babcock were playing hockey, they were going out having a couple of beers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing that anymore, Jeff. They're different animals. The way they train, they spend a lot of times with skill coaches. That didn't exist 20 years ago. So the way they prepare themselves, the way they conduct themselves, it's totally different, and you need to understand them. You know, older coach, they can't come to younger players like Jonathan Drouin or Max Domi and try to teach them the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. Even if Max, in a way, is playing like, you know, the good old days are still in the game, which is great to watch, but he's got unbelievable skills too. He's not only a guy who likes to steer the puck. Just the last goal that he scored on Lundqvist two nights ago was just amazing. So you need to bring younger people to have fresh ideas, new ideas, and that's what we're seeing right now. So I think the Blackhawks understand that. You know, it's tough to see Joel Quenneville leave like that because he's arguably the best coaches ever for the Chicago Blackhawks and their franchise history. And you know that it wasn't easy for him to manage not only his team, but the way things were done, you know, with Stan Bowman. I'm not convinced the relationship was always great, but they made that team great for a long time. So that's the way it was working back then. Now Stan Bowman is saying, you know what, we need to go somewhere else. But at the same time, he's bringing Barry Smith back, which is obviously a old-school type of guy. So it's totally different than in Montreal. It's the other way around. But they decided to bring an older guys to make sure that, obviously, coaches will have, you know, a mentor to talk to when things are not going the right way.
Hey, Ren, I wonder if the impact that skills coaches are having now around the game, and, you know, the Kings are bringing in, I believe, Adam Oates. Is that going to change the role of the head coach? You know, not just the way the head coach talks to the younger players, but is it going to change the role of the head coach and maybe even some of the other assistants? You know, is it going to put a different make for different points of emphasis during practices?
Practices are going to be different. You just nailed it. They're not going to be the same because you need to give players time to work on those things. The Pittsburgh Penguins are doing it already. I know Pierre Turgeon was there last year with the Kings trying to, you know, work a little bit with the players. That was one of his goals. But now with obviously Adam Oates, one of the best in that domain, I mean, yes, it's going to be really interesting, but practices are going to change. And obviously we were talking about new coaches now coming in the league. That's what they like. I watched the Laval Rockets practice on Tuesday here in Laval. It was Joel Bouchard, the head coach, and he was working. The drills were skills drills too. It was not only drills. There was a lot of skills involved. So that's Joel wants to bring, and I guess that's what we're going to see more and more. You know, the practices needs to be, first of all, needs to be fun. Mm-hmm. And second of all, when you're bringing the skills in practices, I think that's where players are lighting up. Honestly, it's not boring when you need to do tricks and when you need to do things, when you can show the rest of your teammates what you can do with that puck. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, where we're going right now. You may need to make sure that the players are resting the right way, but at the same time, you need to understand that they know the system. If they're playing great under the system, let's put a little skills in practices, and you're going to benefit everybody that is hearing what I'm saying right now who played hockey. I'm convinced that when they were practicing during the summer with their skills coach or whatever, if it was their goalie coach or their power skating coach, the first days of practices, they felt different. They felt lighter. They felt better. So why not doing that during the season? Not only during the summer. There's a value of doing all those things during the season too.
William Nylander saga continues in Toronto. It's like the cone of silence. I said I'm giving Kyle. One thing we know about Kyle Dubas is he was taking notes. He was taking notes when it comes to being able to keep everything under wraps for the most part. There have been very few leaks. There have been very few clear indications of where this is going. But Ren, I'm interested. As I said, I know you spend time between the benches. You spend a lot of time talking to people around the industry. If I put 20 NHL general managers, if I brought them in here right now and polled them on whether Nylander comes back or whether Nylander's traded, what would the breakdown be? How many would think he's being traded? How many would think he's coming back?
I'm going to give you the easiest answer in the world, half and half.
Okay.
No, but
that,
you know,
says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says a lot for sure. One thing for sure, okay, Jeff, let's put it that way. Clock is ticking. That's the reality, okay? If you were asking that question to 20 GMs a month ago, probably 75 to 80% would have said this. He's going to sign with the Maple Leafs. But now that the clock is ticking, obviously they're changing their mind, rightly so, because the answer 2 months ago is different than today. You cannot lose Nylander for all the season and getting nothing in return. I understand what the Maple Leafs are doing. They're on the verge of being a great team. They're knocking on that door right now. Probably they are. I don't know. We'll see. But what you can get in return for Nylander is key. If you can't get right now something valuable, which is probably a left-handed defenseman, a young one, it's going to be tough for the Maple Leafs to make that trade, because you cannot lose a guy like that for a first round pick and a third liner, maybe a prospect. No, you need real value in return. You need an asset right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but is it, that's easy for us to say that, right? It's really easy to say. I mean, we're not the one making that trade. We don't know exactly what the market looks like. And even if we have an idea, we're not convinced 100% what the final trade could be. So are they prepared to lose him for the rest of the season and maybe have other contract discussions during next spring? I think there's a chance, Jeff. Even if we're saying December 1st is the deadline, we all know, and it's been out there already, that there's a good chance that he's going to sign a deal in the KHL. And my understanding of the situation is this. People are saying, wow, he's losing a lot of money. No, he's going to get that money back in the K.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He knows it. He knows it, that he's going to get the money back. So that's not a big problem. So after that, if the Maple Leafs can't trade him for the right value, there's still a chance that he's going to stay home or play in the KHL, and both sides are going to try. I guess next spring, but that being said, if he's not a Maple Leaf on December 1st, and he's playing in the KHL, and even if there's the Maple Leafs management is going to say probably to us, we still hope that he's going to stay with our franchise, it'll be really tough to see him back in that Toronto Maple Leafs jersey after something like that, after him staying home, not playing for the team, not agreeing to what's on the table. So it's not easy, Jeff, but there's three scenarios. There's maybe one scenario that we didn't maybe pay much attention to, but maybe it's the last one, that he's going to play in the KHL, and that's going to be it. Maybe it's easier to make a real hockey trade in June compared to right now.
Ren, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care, Jeff.